Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome to the Sinclair Paranormal Investigation Agency. Episode 5, The Dark Star, Part 2.
Hey, just like we thought, that's Arden, everybody.
I want to check and see if he's alive.
Oh, he's very much not alive.
Yeah, awesome.
Hey, he's starting to decompose a little. It's quite stinky.
If we can't save anybody else, we might as well just save ourselves and get out of here. I don't see the point of hanging along.
All right, well, let's go report this, because like we have a lot of info now.
So I'm going to DM Intrude on Brittany. So you're going to get 1 XP, Brittany, and you can give another XP to someone else.
I will give it to... God, who is it, like, necessary to give it to? I don't know. I'll give it to Sean, I guess. Wait, no, okay. I'll give it to James, because he's got, like, the tracking thing. I'll give it to James. Wait, no, who's the one with the tracking thing?
Me.
Matthew is the one with the tracking
thing. Oh my god, I'm sorry. I'll give it to Matthew. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so you, as the phone call kind of, like, peters out on his phone, you see that, you know, there's not a lot of battery left on the phone, and it has several text messages from an unknown number that say, it's from an unknown number, and it seems to be sent around late at night, about a few weeks ago, and they all say things like, "You have to get up. You have to get back in there. You have to get the dark orb. Bring it. Collect it. Bring it to me." And they just go on like that for hundreds of messages.
Can we take a picture of his body really quick?
What number of messages that they hit that they were like, maybe this isn't working, and then decided to keep sending messages anyways? And also, why did they stop at like 102? You know,
can we call the number that was texting him?
Yes.
So I'm gonna call the number that was texting him.
We could wait before we call. Okay. We could text the number to make them think that we're Arden. Perhaps we can get more information that way.
Sure, we can do that. But then we gotta use Arden's phone.
Yeah.
So what are we gonna say to like explain our absence?
His phone is locked, but you can see the messages on the front.
Can we reply? You know, some phones let you reply without, like, unlocking.
I think you could probably reply without unlocking.
Does this phone have one of those things where you can open it with your thumbprint or your face?
It definitely does.
Oh, yeah. So how about you use his thumbprint to unlock it?
I'm just saying, like, how about we go back down there and, you know, get Arden's dead thumb and kind of open the phone up?
Yeah, who thinks they can stomach that trip?
Well, first, why don't we just, like, text back the thing? Because, like, that's all that really matters.
I thought we couldn't. Because we can't text back to us this time.
Well, you can see the number on the front if it's an unknown number.
Like, with my phone, you can, like, you don't have to unlock to just do a quick text back.
Yeah, you can, like, swipe down and reply. I think you have to, like, if someone has their security settings set super high, you can't. But since he can read it...
Okay, so we just respond. Sorry, I just got these. I had bad reception.
Okay, and it goes unanswered. You stand around for like a minute or two, and it's not being read.
And then we text, are you still interested or what?
Again, nothing after a few minutes.
Interesting. All right, so then I'm going to call it. Is that cool with everybody?
Can we somehow spend XP to make this person respond?
Sure, you have agency with player intrusions.
You have to spend XP and say what you want.
It's 2 XP to do a player intrusion, and you can like retcon or change the canon. And that seems reasonable.
But DM has say that works.
Yeah, I get to decide.
Somewhat reasonable, like I want to spend 2 XP to make this person respond in a timely manner and continue responding.
Yeah, no, I think it's totally reasonable. I'm saying you can do it.
Cool.
Yeah, so I will. I'll take that 2 XP off you, and then.
Cool.
Yeah. So you hear the phone go ding, and you look down, and there's a message that says, "It's been weeks. How are you still alive?" And then before you can even type, it said another message comes that says, "You have to get the orb, and bring it to me." The same similar message that you saw before.
At this point, can we just be like, okay, I kind of forgot. It's been weeks. I've had a really, really horrible time down here. Can you remind me exactly what this orb is and what you want from it?
Yeah, you text that, and the text comes back. Anything you want, I will give for the orb. Riches, information, anything. But I need that orb. It's so important to the safety of everyone.
Can we ask him how big the orb is? Let's say, are you sure we can lift the orb?
It responds, I don't know exactly what it looks like, but from what you described, it shouldn't be that difficult to get a hold of. You saw it, not me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And, like, we look back through the text to see if we can see what we told them.
So you don't see any previous text from... Well, you can't really get into the phone. You're just kind of communicating through the reply unless you go back in the hole.
Right. Okay. Well, so we're supposed to. So this guy wants the orb. He sent Arden to get it. Arden's dead.
Well, that kind of implies that Arden was lying during his initial email or something, isn't it? Because he was just talking about it like he went completely on his own. This had nothing to do with anyone else. At least I don't remember his initial, like, email or whatever talking about that. So he was lying? What else was he lying about? Did he lure us here? Are we supposed to be a sacrifice?
He went and saw it. Then he ran and left and sent us the email, right? He probably told someone else about it, and that's who this person is.
The next text is, have you seen anyone at that location today?
Have we seen anyone? What do you guys think? Do you think this person's watching the church?
Well, I could have sworn I saw lots of people, but I don't know. They just disappeared into the dark. I mean,
oh, good call. Let's respond. Let's respond with that. We saw people, but they disappeared when we shined our flashlights on them. Do you know what that's about? We could respond to that. Maybe this guy knows something.
The next message says, "If you see people there at the church today, work with them. Get the orb."
We saw some guy naked getting boiling blood poured on him, like.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Supposed to work with those jamokes?
I think he's talking about us. I think he's talking about us, guys. No, we don't send that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to... This guy doesn't sound like he's going to be against us helping. I'm just going to call him real quick. And I look at these... I look at the other three to make sure they don't have an issue with that.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a thumbs up.
All right, so I look at the phone. I dial 867-5309, and I hit call.
Yeah, you type it into your phone.
No, we were texting with their phone, but I'm calling with my
phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, you type the number into your phone, and when you type the last number in, it kind of like autofills the number with Annabelle, parentheses, from work.
Oh!
And that's sitting in your, and now you're ready to, it's the green buttons there, ready to call.
Oh, I'm going to call her. I'm like, look at this, and I show it to them, and I'm be like, what the crap? And I pull out old Betsy. She's got some splaining to do, and I hit the green button to call.
Yeah, so it rings once, twice, and then Annabelle picks up and she goes, Oh, Sean, it's great to hear from you. Are you guys at the church right now? I got in contact with Arden. I didn't think he could be still alive, or he could still be alive after what he went through, but it sounds like he's down there, and he may have even seen you all. Like, I assume you're there right now, right? That was your mission.
So check it out, Annabelle. That was us, okay? Arden's dead. You send us down here. We've seen, I don't even know what. We saw these crazy looking shadow people who disappeared. And then we saw like some naked dude getting poured with boiling blood.
Oh my.
And now we found Arden's dead body. It's not crickets, to say the least. So give us some more details if you got them.
I didn't really expect Arden to still be around, as it's been quite a while since he sent that message, but he never mentioned anything in his email about people vanishing and reappearing.
Did you send Arden out here to die?
Oh no, I had no idea about Arden until he sent the message to us. I would have just sent you guys out in the beginning to get the Dark Star if I knew it was down there, but he's the one who found it.
Why 121 messages?
Hey, Brittany wants to know why you stopped after 121 messages.
I mean, I kind of just figured he wasn't going to respond. I tried my best.
I waved everyone to shut up. Everybody be quiet. All right, so look here. What else do you know about this cult? Because they've got some really weird hempity-dink going on.
I mean, all I know is that this is a cult. They worship the darkness and this dark star. And in some of the papers I've read, this dark star is quoted as the thing that will bring the world into eternal darkness, and so it has to be a powerful artifact, and getting our hands on it is at the utmost important, because I don't know about you, but I don't really want the world plunged into eternal dark. From what I've heard, that these cultists shouldn't be too much of a problem. They're not really anything special. No one's claimed them to be like any kind of mystical capabilities. They're more just people who worship the darkness.
Arden was the one who said that he got pushed back with the force or whatever.
Hey, yeah, there. We'd like to point out to you that Arden said he got pushed back by some unseen force. Did you not read that in the email?
No, that is true. There's a chance they're using that dark star to maybe fuel some kind of power off of it. But themselves are just they're just normal people.
Okay, but the Dark Star is, in fact, an artifact of immense power.
The Dark Star is, in fact, an artifact of immense power. I wouldn't send you three in here so lightly if there wasn't a important artifact we needed to retrieve.
All right, so you'd say it's imperative that we get this orb and we keep it out of the hands of the police or these cultists.
It may literally decide the fate of the world, getting this star.
All right,
that's,
I got
rich.
You.
I mean, I don't know what its capabilities are. All I've seen is what it's been quoted as the artifact that will bring the world into eternal dark. And I prefer to not take those things with a grain of salt.
All right, we're on it. Now we know, Annabelle. This is my number. Call me here if you need anything.
Oh well, have you found any way to? Have you found the Stark Star? Have you seen it?
No. In fact, we're getting pretty frustrated with this labyrinthine maze of tunnels, but we'll search for the rest of them and let you know.
Yeah, just be careful, and you know, as much as I do want that Dark Star, I would rather have my employees than the Dark Star. So if things get real bad, you know, you can leave it, and I'll be upset, but I won't be that upset. There'll be other opportunities, hopefully. Maybe we can track the cult outward afterwards, and if they try to move, you know, all I'm trying to say is get the Dark Star and try not to get killed, but don't give up too early.
All right. So I'm like, all right, guys, we got to keep looking for this thing. Let's go back to the next corridor and see, because it looks like we don't want to fall down the same pit that old Arden fell down. So there's more corridors, right? If we go,
yeah, there's more corridors. Are you still sticking to your right hand rule?
Yeah, right hand rule.
Yeah.
So you continue your right hand rule, and you keep spiraling through some, not really spiraling, they're very rigid cornery edges. But you make your way a long way down to the left, a little down further to the left again, and then you kind of do a U shape around a wall, and you keep making your way along the long passageway, and then you go up to the left a little, and you see a dead end. And at the end of this dead end, there are a dozen people who are walking in procession through the hallway with their eyes removed, and they all walk towards the party, and when your light flashes over them, they vanish. And James is going to take one stress.
Okay. James, get together, man.
I'm starting to freak out, man.
All right, so they vanish. We have no idea where they went.
Yeah, they just vanish into thin air again.
All right, so we turn off all the lights.
Okay.
Does everyone else turn off their lights too?
Why not? We've gone this far. We're kind of hitting a dead end.
But we're not. I'm like, guys, we're gonna turn off the lights, and we're not gonna move from this spot. Okay, so everybody grab each other's hands so we don't get lost. We're gonna turn off the lights and just see if there's any faint light source maybe down here that we're just not seeing.
Are you sure about this? I feel positive, like the light.
Positive.
Okay, I trust you, Sean.
Hi,
Matthew. So you turn off your light.
Yeah, sure.
So we're all you know huddled up, like make sure we grab each other's arms or whatever, mm-hmm. and we turn off the lights just to see if we can see anything.
Yeah, so you turn off all your lights and everything goes quiet. You don't hear anything around you. And you begin to hear this slight whispering. And it's, you can't really make out what it's saying, but you hear it. And it kind of sounds like it's off in the distance a little bit to your right. And you remember that there was a open corridor that direction that you hadn't gone down yet.
Right.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
So I'm like, hey, guys, and I'm whispering to him, like, hey, let's go down that last right corridor down there that we didn't go down. And like, but I leave the light, but we leave the lights off and we just kind of go really quiet, really slowly. If we're feeling for with our feet for any, like, you know, place in the floor that might give out, as happened to Arden.
So as you make your way down that corridor, your footsteps echo through the cavern as you're deadly quiet. And you make it through that way and you hear the whisper kind of move and head to your right. You continue to follow the whisper and it shifts back to the left, and you continue to follow it, and miraculously you're not running into any walls as you follow this whisper, and you continue to make your way down corridor and corridor following the whisper until you enter a hallway that is dimly lit by torches. And at the end of the hallway is a large ornate door. So as you walk up toward the door, you notice that it has ornate carvings of what appears to be a solar eclipse. And the door has a symbol of the closed eye on it, the same one that you saw carved in the walls of the pews in church.
So I close my eyes to see if I can see anything.
Yeah, so you close your eyes and you continue to hear that whisper. It's actually quite loud now that you're at the door, but you don't see anything special.
There's no magic, like you close your eyes and it shows everything.
No, no. No, and when you reopen your eyes, the room is dimly illuminated by these torches lightly burning on the side of the wall.
Right, right. So, what do you guys think? Should we go through the door?
Well, if we're going to go for that dark star, I imagine it's our best bet.
I cannot think of a single strategy to make this safer.
I'm going to grab... But hey, let's all grab one of these torches, because like, if they lit them, they're probably not so scared of these torches.
Well, I kind of like what they're scared of our lights, but sure.
All right, so I grab one of the torches. How many torches are there?
There's 6 torches along the wall, 3 on each side.
All right, so 2 for me, 2 for you, and then 1 for each of you.
Yeah, you try to... So you go, you grab your torches, and you go and push on the door, and it doesn't move. There's not even handles on it.
Okay. hey, what do you guys think? Should we try to burn it down?
Yes! It's worked! Every single time.
What if we just try to light the... Let's see if we can light this door on fire.
I am not joking. Every single time we have used fire, fire has helped us. Let's burn this thing down.
Let's just try to burn the door down.
We might all suffocate and die, but let's do it.
Yeah, you put the fire up to the door, and it makes like a little black spot in the door, but it seems like the door is some like epoxy resin on it or something, and it's not really catching.
I think this door's made of asbestos, guys. Be careful not to breathe it out.
Brittany, do you still have that crowbar or whatever?
I do still have that crowbar or whatever.
Oh, I've got a crowbar too.
2 crowbars. Let's beat this fucking door down.
No, we're going to try to pry it open. Get it?
Tomato, tomato, let's just do it.
So why don't you, Brittany, make me a level 5 might roll? To try to pry this door open, and you'll get down to a level 4 because Sean's helping you.
Cool, yo. 1 second, I gotta open my dice thing. I got a 16.
Alright, yeah, so you start to pry on this door, and you're both pushing on your crowbars, trying to get it open as hard as you can, and you actually break a chunk of the wood off of it, but the door still holds strong shut.
Can we just start with the, can we just, like, use the crowbar to, like, smash at the hinges?
There's no hinges. The door has no handles on it.
No, I mean, like, the hinges on the sides of the doors.
You can't see any hinges on the sides of the doors.
Well, there has to be hinges. It's a door.
I look around to see if there, yeah, but that's not how it works.
Well, the hinges might be on the inside.
If there's anything else to, like, any other direction to go... Like a window, a slit?
No slits, no windows. The room is completely sealed from all light entering besides the 6 torches.
Okay, so I get my really bright flashlight. I get my super bright flashlight, and I shine it at the door to see if the door will disappear.
Nothing happens to the door.
Do I see the door still?
The door is still there. Well, you kind of just see bright white now. Because you right, turn right. on the super high lumen flashlight in the tunnel.
Wait, did it work? Did it light up the entire room?
It's super bright.
Okay,
it's super bright.
It's on, I look around to really observe the room.
The room is completely empty. It's all just cobblestone except for the like 6 spots where the torches were sitting that now you're holding a few of.
Well, I'm like, well, guys, when all else fails, I guess you knock. So I take the crowbar and I go to knock, and I'm doing it at a speed where they could interrupt me if they didn't want me to.
you pound on the door and nothing happens.
Okay, I pound harder on the door.
Nothing happens still.
Okay. I let everyone else have a chance to try something.
I guess I'm gonna use my jigsaw solver and see if there's like and like look for like any clues or like any like puzzles or like any like secret opening contraptions, anything like that.
Yeah, so you use that and you kind of get this thought that pops into your head and you go, huh, well, we were lost in the maze until we turned our lights off and then we were able to find our way through. Then all of a sudden there's light again. Maybe it has something to do with the torches.
Should we put out the torches and go for it?
Wait, put the torches back, maybe?
Well, maybe we gotta put them out.
I just take them and I smother them. Yeah, I just push them like, you know, like putting a cigarette out or something. I just smother it.
Yeah, so you smother the torches one by one, And as the last torch smothers out and you all are plunged into total darkness, you hear as the doors swing open. And as soon as the doors open, you hear this chanting from the darkness. And the voices don't sound like words. They're like almost like another language, and they're just chanting the same sounds over and over and over again. It sounds like there's maybe 10, 15 different voices of different depths and volumes.
So we need light now, right? You guys want to turn on a flashlight and see what, this, what we're looking at?
Sure, maybe we can get the people to disappear.
Or should we see if they want their eyeballs back? How many of those eyeballs you got? Don't we have a bag of eyeballs? Let's throw the eyeballs at. Let's throw a couple of the eyeballs at them and just see what happens. Do we see them? Or have an idea of where they are?
You're in pitch black darkness right now.
I don't know. Maybe, will they get offended if we turn the lights on? Will they become aggressive?
Well, how about you try your night vision glasses?
Yeah, Matthew.
What's that? Oh, yeah, I can turn on night vision. I'll look around.
So Matthew turns on his night vision, and he sees this altar in the center of a large circular room. And in the, you know, it's there's no not much color in your night vision, but you do see this round spherical thing on top of this altar. And you see about 12 or 15 people standing around this altar with their arms in the air, and they're like throwing their arms up and up and up in the air over and over. And you continue to hear this chanting of this unknown word over and over
sound
and over
like.
Again. Why don't you make me a level 3 intellect check?
I got a 9.
You got a 9. That's perfect. So it kind of sounds like they're going, Nialasund! Nialasund! Over and over and over again.
Hey, it sounds like they're saying Nialasund, guys, don't you think?
Does that mean anything to anybody?
How about, can I try to remember if that means anything?
You think about the word Nialasund, and you specifically, James, make me a mapping task.
A mapping?
It's going to be level 3. Like, do you have anything that has to do with geography?
Oh, yes. Well, it's specifically my thing says I'm very good at recalling all details of geography that I read in a book. Is that...
Yeah, you've read plenty of occult books. So you can make me a level... What did I say before?
I think 3.
Level 3? So make me a level 2. Intellect.
So is that a DC 6? So,
DC 6, yep.
Can I use 2 intellect points to edge it?
Yep. Well, you're not edging it.
Or...
you're going to apply effort to
the opposite.
I'm gonna use my
edge. I'm gonna edge to the roll. I got 11.
Okay. Yeah. So you recall that Nialasund is it's a town, and it's on the island of Spitsbergen. It's like Spitsbergen.
Like, is that like a German place?
Svalbard. It's an archipelago. It's in the Arctic Ocean.
Yeah, it's in Svalbard.
Oh, Svalbard.
He's right. It's in the Arctic Ocean.
Is that the place I researched?
It is not the place you researched. So Matthew would know that the people don't seem to be paying any mind.
Do you see an orb or anything with that night vision?
I see an altar. It's not very clear exactly. I see the chanting. I do see an orb atop the altar. Is it like, what's it resting on? How's it being held?
It's kind of, almost looks like it's levitating.
Let's direct me. Let's run up there and grab that orb and get out of here.
Need a distraction. Sean, be the distraction.
I got a distraction, and I pull out my gun. And I and I take aim, and I'm like, tell me when I'm pointing at one of the cultists.
I will just put the night vision goggles on your head.
Okay. So I've got the night vision goggles on now, and I'm looking down, and I see the people, and my tritium sights are glowing nicely, and my night vision is there.
Okay.
And yeah. So what do I see? Anything special?
Yeah, you see the same scene that Matthew saw. Several or about 12 people around this altar.
So I walk up slowly to the altar, and I'm watching the cultists to see if they react.
Yeah, no, they're not reacting right now.
Okay.
Are you right up on the altar, or are you still like you just walking your way out? Like, what's your?
I'm walking more. I'm like if they're like 2 feet from it, I'm like 5 feet from it.
All right. Yeah, they're still just chanting.
All right. So I walk up to it, and I'm like, so then I'm like, okay, guys, and I walk back to the guys. I got a plan. I'm gonna grab the what I say now, and I hand my really bright flashlight to one of these guys. Like, you flip this on as soon as I say now. That means I grabbed the orb, and then we all beeline it out of here with the orb. All right. Sound good?
Are you going to be able to see if we're pointing that light at you?
Well, when I say now, I'm going to take the night vision off. And you're not going to point the light at me, right? Point at the exit. Point at everybody, turn their lights on, okay? Sound good?
Okay.
All right. I put my hand out. Good plan. And and it's obvious I want them to put their hands in the circle.
Yeah, we all just keep like missing each other's hands though because it's too dark.
But I've got the night vision, so I take everybody's hand and put them on. I'm like, okay, guys, 1, 2, 3, break, and like I go over to the altar. I'm like right next to it, so I get like how? So I keep creeping. Okay, are they reacting to me yet? I'm like a foot from the altar now.
So like, as you begin to get close to the altar, one of the ones closest to you begins to like notice you and starts to lower his hands and turn his head.
So as he notices me, I just like jump and leap up and grab the orb.
Okay.
And then I say, now!
And whoever is holding the flashlight turns it on straight onto the cultists.
That's you, yeah, you got the flashlight. And I take off the night vision at the same time.
You flick this flashlight on, and now the room is illuminated in light. And you see that every inch of the room is covered in scrawling writing in a different language you don't recognize. And the center of the room is this altar of black crystals and dark wood. And atop it was the dark orb, but now is Sean gripping the orb like a football.
Like a rugby ball.
Yeah, like a rugby ball. And there's no depth to this orb. It almost looks like it's just a 2D circle. It's completely dark. You can't tell if it's a sphere or it looks two-dimensional in this 3D world. It like draws your eyes in.
It's not cutting into me though.
No, to you it just feels like a cold metal orb.
Okay.
And as soon as those lights come on, the door slams shut. I need you all to make a level 5 might check.
So I'm gonna use my burning desire.
Okay.
Which I lose a level of stress.
Yeah, so you can, you're gonna also use your effort.
Yeah.
So that makes it a. So, Philip, you do pass when using your effort.
Nice.
Oh, wait, you got an 11?
I rolled an 11.
Oh, no, you don't pass, sorry.
Oh, no.
So yours is only a DC 9, right, okay. James? What about you, Matthew and Brittany?
I rolled a 4.
Okay. Brittany.
I rolled an 8. Is there any way that I could spend?
You can spend 1 XP to re-roll the dice if you'd like.
I mean, no, if I can, like, spend.
Oh, yeah, you can spend 3 might points to ease it, but it's not going to get you there.
Mm.
Generally, you ease your rolls before you roll. Let it slide on this one. But
yeah.
it won't get you there.
Yeah, then I'm just gonna, I got an 8. Sucks to suck.
All right. Yeah, so the... So, all 4 of you are knocked backwards onto your butt, and your lights all stop working, and the room goes back into pitch darkness. And, you know, out of all of this, you do at least hear the doors open again, now that the room is plunged into darkness. But you also hear the footsteps of several cultists, many of which sound like they're running away, but a few of them sound like they're walking closer to you.
Hey, so I have the orb?
You do. You have the orb in your hands.
I put the night vision goggles back on, and I grab everybody, and I run them through the door.
Yeah, so I'm gonna need you guys to roll initiative at this point.
I got an 18.
Okay.
Oh, shoot, I got a 20. Yay.
Nice. That's the second nat 20 you've gotten on initiative in this campaign, I think.
I know. I'm just...
I got a 3.
Okay. William's consistently bad. Don't you have a negative 3 also?
Well, I rolled a 6.
Oh, you... Okay, got it.
I rolled a 12, but I have proficiency in initiative, so it's 15.
Beautiful. Yeah, so we've got Brittany up first. So Brittany, you are everything's pitch black. You can't see anything, but you're on your butt on a stone ground.
Okay, so there are there's 12 people currently coming towards us.
Well, you don't know how many people are coming toward you. You heard some people run away and some people.
Oh, yeah, walk that's true. Okay, there are 12 people. We have there are multiple people most likely coming for. I do have a special ability that's one against many. You attempt to attack against a highest level enemy, and if successful, in lieu of inflicting damage, you affect all the foes within immediate distance in one of two ways. Either they must move within an immediate area as you direct, or they are prevented from moving into a space in immediate range that you choose. God, okay, never mind. I have no idea what the...
No, that sounds amazing. If you attack one of these guys, you can direct all of the rest of them to either stand still for a round or move to a certain location for a round. But you have to be able to see them first, and currently everything's pitch black.
Well, they do make noise. I can hear them.
Yeah. You can definitely attempt to attack them, but it's likely your rolls will be hindered slightly.
Okay. Well, I have my headlamp on still. Can I turn that on? Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, you turn the headlamp on, and those doors slam shut again, and the room is illuminated, and the people there kind of cover their eyes, and you see that there's only 5 people in the room still. All the rest ran off into doors that are on the other sides of the room.
Okay, so I can see them now, and they're also actively covering their eyes. I've got them unawares. Mm-hmm. I attempt to attack one of them using my one against many ability.
Yeah. Yeah, so go ahead and make a attack roll against... we'll make it... there's one kind of near you that you can kind of run over to. And what are you attacking him? What are you doing? You hitting him with a lacrosse stick?
Classic. Yeah. Oh, you know it. I have my lacrosse stick. God, I really want to put the orb in the lacrosse stick, but I'm not going to. No, I clock him over the face, right in the face, attempting to break every single bone in his face with the lacrosse stick. I rolled a 14.
Yeah, so you run up and hit this guy across the head with a lacrosse stick. He's wearing a dark robe, and his you can see it's a V-cut neck, and you can see his chest has tattoos of various scrawlings and writings on it, and you smack him across the head with that lacrosse stick, and that's gonna deal, I think it deals 3 damage.
I'll give him a concussion.
4 damage. It's going to deal 4 damage to him. And he kind of slumps down onto the ground a little. But he's still kicking. And now, since you successfully landed a hit, you get to direct the rest of them to a specific location or tell them to not move for a round.
I guess they're all generally in the same location right now. They're all kind of clumped together. Yep. Yeah, so just don't
move. They're all kind of
around
this altar. Okay. Yeah, so you freeze them in place. Sean, what did you roll on your dice again? 18?
18, yes.
Okay, so you're up next, Sean. You are in the center of these cultists. Brittany has just turned her light back on, and they're all kind of covering their eyes. And you've got the dark star in your underneath your arm.
All right, so I'm going to move towards the door.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's closed right now, I'd be like,
yep.
As I'm moving, I'm like, Brittany, the door's not going to open while that light's on. Have you not figured this out yet? And I'm like, and I make the doy motion at her.
I start to cry a little bit. I'm sorry, and I turn it off.
And did she kill one of the cultists?
She knocked him to the ground, but he's not dead.
All right, so the one that she knocked on the ground, I pull out my gun as I run by him, and I shoot him in the head.
Okay, yeah.
Can I need to roll for that shot?
Nice. You do.
I mean, I feel like it'd be the easiest shot in the world.
Yes, but we're playing a game.
Okay, I got me.
Yeah, so you run past and you shoot the man that's crouched on the ground in front of Brittany, and he, with the force of the bullet, spins him a little, and he flattens out on the ground, and a pool of dark liquid appears below him, and he's no longer moving.
Good job, Brittany.
I think Matthew and James are probably going to gain a level of stress from watching this happen.
Yeah.
Brittany might. I'm not sure. I haven't got a good vibe yet.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? No. I'm in this. Me and Sean, we're blood.
That's
kind
of what I thought. Yeah, and then you're near the door, but it's still closed.
And I did tell her to turn her light off.
This is my bloody mulch persona, and the light is off.
Yeah, the light turns off, and you, with your night vision goggles, can see that the door is swung open again. So now it is going to be the enemy's turn. So there's only 4 enemies left, and
they are all directed to not move, right?
Yeah, they are all directed to not move. So they, what is that? Let me read that ability real quick just to make sure. Is can they do anything, or are they stopped? Okay, so they just can't move. So they standing still are going to. All right, so Matthew, you are going to look up from your where you're kind of just stand. You see your butt. You got knocked on your butt, so you're sitting on the ground,
yeah.
And you kind of look up, and you see 2 just blacker than black eyeballs staring at you through the darkness, and they have white pupils. And I'm gonna need you to make an intellect defense roll.
Okay, have at you. I rolled a 19.
All right, so you feel something come over you, and you almost, like, your eyes start to flutter shut, but you kind of shake it off, and you stand up, and nothing seems to happen. And James, the similar sight is going to befall you, so I need you to make an intellect defense roll.
Can I use, like, any, like, effort on there or anything like that?
Yeah, you can use 1 effort per round if you want. Like, you can do it every roll.
Okay.
You just can't apply more than 1 level of effort per roll.
19.
Nice. So you also have that fleeting feeling of sleepiness, but then it shakes off and you stand up as well and you feel ready to go.
When I roll 19, I immediately attempt to hide.
Yeah. Sorry, I forgot about that. Yeah, you can attempt to hide if you want. It's kind of dark. It might be hard.
Yeah, I might. I'm just going to run behind the door, I guess. Right?
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah. You can kind of hide behind the wall on the other side of the door. So, Matthew, you also rolled a 19, which means you get a minor effect.
Nice. Not,
minor effects can be little bonuses that don't really mean much, but it's a little reward for getting a 19.
I worked so hard for it.
James had something specifically called out in his class as a minor effect. It was optional, and he chose to keep it. I don't know if you ran across that when you're making your character sheet, but you could also come up with something now.
Like a specific thing to happen every single time I roll a minor effect, or just like...
His, like, it's more of like a suggestion based on your class's... Your class, it's like in the book, it'll say like minor, major effect, but you really, you can do whatever you want, as long as I approve it. It's like if you wanted to like run toward the door like James did, or maybe even like throw dust in the face of an enemy in front of you, something like that.
My minor effect, maybe I gauge the strength of my enemies and find who's the next strongest one, if there is one.
Yeah, that sounds great. So you look around and you know you're in the dark, you can't really see, but you sense that there is an enemy fairly close to you who is not that tough.
But Brittany's light's on, right?
I don't sense any really tough people. No, her light's off specifically so that the door was open.
Oh.
Because you wanted her to turn
it off. Yeah, I wanted her to turn it off. I thought she had to wait to her turn to turn it off.
No, it's kind of just free action. She can turn the light on and off. Nice. So now it is on to Matthew's turn.
Okay. And just to make it double clear, when the lights are off, the door is open. When the lights are on, the door closes.
That's correct.
Okay.
And currently, James and Sean are on the other side of the door. You heard their footsteps leave.
Okay.
You know them so well that you can tell which one they are by their footsteps.
Yes. I will also leave out through the door if I can.
Yeah, you kind of just like stumble that direction where you heard them. And
I ready up my flare gun.
Okay, yeah, and you've got your flare gun ready. You can trigger that whenever you want, regardless of your turn. And now it is James's turn.
I'm just going to pass, I guess. Or I guess I'm going to like shout a little bit to like make sure they know where the door is, but I don't know, I'm already outside. I don't feel like I need to do anything.
I mean, make sure that they're going the right way, I guess.
Yeah, like, I think that's what he's doing. He's kind of like, Brittany! Alright, yeah, it'll pass back to Brittany's turn then.
I run out of the room. I follow Matthew.
Alright, so you pass through where you heard the voice of James, and you are kind of outside the door now.
Okay. Then you said I can shoot my flare off whenever I want?
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as I hear Brittany come through the door, I shoot my flare into the room.
Yeah, so you see this, you shoot your flare, and it lights up. And the light doesn't travel as far as you would hope. It's almost like it's like illuminating in like a dense liquid. And it kind of like, there's this orb of light that kind of goes through, and you see like one cultist kind of move out of the way in that orb of light. He like dodges it slightly, and then the flare like hits another cultist, and they tip over with the flare, and they're like rolling around and throw the flare off of them, and it keeps burning on the side. But the light is enough to trigger the door closing, and the door closes and cuts you off from the cultist.
We got the sphere, right?
Yeah, I've got the sphere. Wait, are we still doing turn-based, or can we go back to talking?
You can kind of cut turn-based out.
All right, so I'm like, hey, turn on the flashlights. Let's make sure those doors stay shut, and I turn on my flashlight, my normal one.
My headlamp's on.
And I'm like, let's get out of here, man. I think our mission's done.
Yeah, I'm definitely more than ready to get out of here.
I mean, according to Annabelle, the orb was the goal, and I got the orb right here, and I give it a little pat.
As you do that, Sean, I need you. I'm going to DM Intrude on you, so you get one XP.
Woo!
And you get to give one to someone else.
Do I give it to myself, or do you give it to me?
I give it to you. Now you get to choose who you give the other one to.
Yeah, but I mean, you're going to update my thing, too.
I did it. I just did.
I'm going to give it to Brittany.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you pat the orb, and you say what you said, and as soon as you slap it, I need you to make a level 4 intellect check. An intellect defense roll.
I've got, oh, so I'm going to use my pool because I got like 14. I'm like super intellectual, apparently.
Yeah. So you can spend 3, and if you have an edge, you can only have to spend 2. I'm not sure.
Oh, I have an edge.
Yep. So you can spend 2 points to ease the task by 1 step.
So I'm easing the task.
Yep. So it's DC 9 now.
I got an 18. Wait.
There you go.
Wait, that's 3 18s in a row. I might grab a different die.
Yeah. So you pat the orb, and you like, your hand like freezes to it, and you feel this like dark presence, and then you're able to rip your hand away, and nothing more happens.
I didn't like see like a glowing eye or something. Did I see a glowing eye?
You didn't see a glowing eye.
And I didn't feel any sensation like I wanted to rip my own eyeballs out.
You might have gotten that feeling a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
Casually.
Hey man, let's wrap this thing up. I don't think we should be touching it. I think it's kind of like a palantir.
Of course, yeah. I'm going to take off my jacket and wrap it around it.
You can put it in my backpack.
I'd suggest avoid touching it. I felt something really weird, man.
Okay, I'll be careful. I'll put some gloves on as well.
And then I'm like, let's if there's no objection, let's blow this taco stand. I'm sorry, we're in Britain. Let's blow this falafel stand.
So luckily, you have Dr. James Ritter with you, a master of direction. And so with his eidetic memory, he remembers the exact path you took here, and you all begin to make your way. As you get further away from the door and turn a few corners, you hear that familiar screech of the door opening again as your light fades from the area, and you may hear the pitter-patter of footprints, but you're well ahead, and maybe even these cultists don't remember the maze as good as Dr. James Surger does.
Dumbasses.
And so you're able to reach the light of the trap door as you make your way out, and you see the wooden ladder in front of you.
I'm like, ladies first, let's get up this ladder.
When I hoist you over my head. I've assumed that you were a lady this entire time, I just never came up.
And then she gets a hernia because she's a lady.
Yeah, exactly. And then you get a kidney stone because you're a man.
Yeah, I want to play your intrude and give Brittany Melton a hernia.
That's toxic. Hey, you got the XP, man. You do what you want to do.
I want to play your intrude and give him a kidney stone.
We all scramble up the ladder, 3 stooges style. And we're like, yeah, wise guy. And we're running up the ladder all at the same time.
Beautiful. You see, you're plunged back into sunlight, and you're like, you can barely keep your eyes open. You haven't been somewhere that dark in a long time, and it hurts your eyes to see the sun again. But, yeah, you're back above ground. The air is nice. It feels good in your lungs compared to the dingy air of the dungeon.
I'm like, let's pile in the van, grab your bike. You can put it in the back of the cargo area, and we'll get out of here.
Why can't we just take the bike?
Do we do these things?
Yeah, Matthew, do you want to stuff your bike in the back? I'm not even sure.
No, let's just take the bike.
Yeah, I'll just drive the bike.
Yeah, okay, that makes more sense. yeah, so Sean and you all drive, and you're headed back to the office, and you get back, you're all in the office.
And I call Annabelle.
After a day of work. Yeah, she answers quickly.
Okay.
She goes, Sean, are you okay? Do you have the star?
We got the star. The Star of Darkness? Is that what you called it? Anyways, I've got it right here. David.
This is amazing. It's been called the Dark Star, the Dark Sun. I don't know much about it. I'm going to be very excited to look at it when I get back. Did it cause you any trouble? Like, I know you said you struggled with the Scarecrow last time. Have you handled this one properly?
Sean almost ripped his eyeballs out.
I wouldn't say it was that big of a deal. It was just an all in a day's work. And I look at the other three and I give them like a little smirk.
How are you? How do the other three of you react to this little smirk after a day's work, in quotation?
An intense round.
I give them a big high five. And then our theme song plays.
We all start laughing. And we all start laughing. And then there's like a freeze frame.
And then you hear Annabelle on the phone while you're frozen in midair. Wait, tell me more.
Oh, sorry, I forgot you were there. We were doing our outro. And I relay the whole thing, and I tell about the cultist with the missing eyes. I also tell her, don't we still have like 12 eyeballs with us? It's like...
Oh, you brought the eyeballs back?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll give those a look too. Listen, in terms of the Dark Star, I need you to. I would like you to put it in my office. All right. I left it unlocked. I suspected you may succeed. I would like you to place it in there and then leave my office and don't go back in there. Okay.
Okay. I go in there and I'm like okay, and I hang up. Are we done talking to her?
I mean, it's up to you to.
I'm like, yes, ma'am. That'll be great. And I hang up her. I'm like, hey, man, she really wants us out of that office. Let's go. Let's just take a gander around and see what's in that office.
Yes.
Well, you know, when we drop the Dark Star in there, we can, you know, do a little.
So she basically is begging us to snoop.
Doctor, surely you can't resist doing experiments on it.
I would love to. I wouldn't even know where to start, though. But yes, we can take it back.
All right, so when I go by in there, at least I look around to see if there's anything crazy.
Yeah, so entering into to Annabelle's office, you've seen it through the windows before, but it is an absolute mess of boxes and papers just strewn everywhere. Like almost the entire floor is covered in like papers with just text and text and text. And she's got a desktop computer sitting in the middle that seems to be powered off, and just, you know, boxes of files stacked in all directions.
So I'm like, all right, I don't see anything too crazy, but let's get out of here. So I just put it in and leave. And turn the lights on, though. Make sure all the lights are on.
Yeah, the lights seem to work a little less now.
All right. But I make sure they're on still, just in case those cultists come around. All right, well, that was a good day's work, don't you guys think? You want to go get a beer or a lager?
I might need something after what I saw. I mean, I don't know. Were those people down there, or what was that?
I think they were communists.
Let's have to think about it.
They had to be, because that's the only way you'd feel this little moral guilt.
Yeah, I guess it was a blind leading the blind kind of moment.
Exactly.
Literally.
Tell me about James's apartment.
So, like, I was, like, borderline impoverished. So it's, like, a studio apartment. It's, like, overly crowded with, like, a wall with, like, all kinds of binders and, like, research papers from when I was back in the university. It's, like, got, like, barely space for a bed. And it doesn't, like, have a proper kitchen. It's just kind of like an induction stove in a pot. With like a bathroom that's kind of like barely tucked away in the corner, but it's very squalor, very tiny, and overstuffed with all of his notes.
Wonderful. So you, over the week since the incident at the church, you are doing your daily routine and you check the mail and you find that there is an odd letter in the mail. It has no postage on it. It's just a white envelope with a green image of an open eyeball on it.
Does it ring any bells to the watchers or anything like that?
You would recognize that this symbol is one of the symbols present on the notes from your grandfather.
Okay, is it, so it's a letter with that symbol on the front?
That's correct.
Can I open it up?
It's like you open it up, and inside is just this note. So this is a piece of paper with a bunch of newspaper clipping letters cut out on it. And it reads, "Seeks bent souls. Each road is eerie and dark. Kings die seen." And on the back side of this paper, it just says written without like in normal typing, not in the newspaper letters, "Seeking intelligent individuals."
Okay. This kind of seems like a cicada type deal.
Okay, so you are. What do you? What is? What does Sean do for fun after work by himself? You know, do you like go to the bar?
Yeah, he goes to an old police bar where he still hangs out with some of his old friends.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of what he does. So he does working out in the morning because he like kills him. He's like slowly killing himself at night. He just like he'll go to the bar, hang out with his friends. Then he'll go home and usually just drink some more scotch. He might put on an old, like, American-style Western or some claptrap from the BBC, you know, mm-hmm. like some old movies. But he basically is just, like, trying to find purpose in this life because, sure. like, he's got demons that he's facing.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, he's gone on a couple dates, but he's never really that interested because it's just, like, his own problems just get in the way every time.
Is Sean does Sean have any family members?
Sean's parents have died, but he does have a strange sister, but he has a sister who like they don't really talk that much just because Sean never initiates, and when she does call, he doesn't really like engage in the conversation very well.
Got it. All right, so you are at this old police bar. And you were just, you know, having your normal drink, chatting with some old cops, and a man comes up and approaches you from behind, and he kind of like taps you on the shoulder, and you turn, and he's wearing nice jeans and a collared shirt, and he has dark, well-kept hair and a clean-shaven face, and his muscular physique seems to press against his button shirt, and he's wearing like a nice, fancy watch. He goes, "Oh, howdy, my name is Norman Widman. And I've got something to ask you." And he puts his arm on your shoulder and leads you over to the side of the bar. Do you follow?
I kind of push him away, but I'm like, sorry, mate, this isn't that kind of bar. If you want to buy me a beer, buy me one right here.
He goes, "Oh, I'm here for business."
Ah, business, eh? Well, you buy me a drink and I'll come hear what you have to say.
He kind of like gestures to the bartender, and the bartender pours you a little cup of scotch.
I stop the bartender. Nah, the good stuff, Mikey. He's paying.
And he gives you a wink, and he like opens the cabinet and pulls a real nice bottle out and throws the other scotch on the floor and pours another bottle or another cup of scotch and slides it over to you.
All right, what'd you say your name was again?
It's Norman. And he kind of like sighs as he takes you aside.
And I hold it up and I just down the whole thing in a shot. I'm like, best $65 glass I've ever had.
And he takes you over to the side of the bar where there's less people. And he goes, "Listen, I can see it in your eyes. I know you've seen weird stuff. You have, haven't you? Like me?"
It depends on what you mean by weird. Keep talking.
He pulls up his sleeve. And he shows you that he has these huge scratch mark scars down his arm. And he goes, and the scars are deep purple with like a bubbly edge, and they resemble almost the damage done by a grease fire. And he says, I got these while fighting for the American Army in Iraq. Me and a group went into a cave for cover, and let's just say the fiery beast hiding in that cave, the fiery beast hiding in there got what it had coming, but not before it took three of my men and this good tear off my arm. Put me out for the rest of the fight. Now I do odd jobs here and there, always relating to weird stuff like this.
Interesting.
What have you seen? I can tell. I always know it when I see it. You know, well, there's two types of people living in this world. One that knows what's really going on, and one that's just walking around pretending like nothing bad ever happens.
Well, first of all, Yank, you've already got my attention. I'd like to thank you for bailing my chicken weak little country out during WW2. You guys are the greatest. Yeah, I've seen my fair share of stuff. Nothing like what you're describing. Why, that sounds almost like you're saying you saw a dragon.
No, this thing was fur-legged fur monster. I took it to be quite the bear, but when it started spewing flames, I knew it was something I've never seen on National Geographic, if you know what I mean.
Interesting. So are you looking for a job? We have an agency.
No, I've got my job. I do odd jobs here and there. I'm actually here to propose a little side work from you, actually. Whenever I see people who I you know, you guys are far, you guys have, you're not super common, the ones who really know what's going on, and I like to get a hold of you and use you a little bit when I can, and trust me, I pay well. And he tells you that this odd job he needs is there's a lot of money up for grab, but one condition, he says, is his work is in absolute secrecy. And the only reason he's letting you know is because he sees that fire in your eyes that others don't have. And he offers you 10,000 pounds, which is about 5 expensive items, to do this job.
I mean, I'll do it for less. I'll do it for whatever. But I just got to reiterate, I'm not into any of that monkey behind the scenes, under the cover stuff. This is all up toward, right?
Yeah, it's all
ladies is what I'm telling you, mate.
I have no interest in that. I just need someone to help me with a job.
All right, I'm your man. What's the job?
So he goes, like I said, absolute secrecy. I can pay you right now, and I will see you soon about the job, but I can't tell you more right now.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, I'm a man of honesty and of my word, so give me a third today and give me the other when the job is done.
So he hands you an envelope and extends his hand for a handshake.
All right, and I motion over to Mikey. That's not how we do deals here in Mickey's O'Rourke's pub. Mickey, 2 more shots for my friend here. He's paying.
He kind of just smiles a little. And hands you the envelope, and you open it, and you see that it's got the full 5 expensive items worth in there.
Okay, then I grab the 2 shots from Mickey, and I hand one to my new friend. To friendships that last.
He dinks the glass and downs the shot.
Ah, I knew you could drink, Yank.
He goes, I'm glad to have you on the job. It really shouldn't be too much trouble, and trust me, you know, this business, we'll all make out well.
Hey, next time you come from the States, you think you could bring me one of those assault rifles I hear so much about?
He goes, you know, if you complete this job for me well, I think I can make that happen.
Let's do it. And some grenades, some hand grenades would be nice too.
I could probably get one.
Nice.
And he goes, all right, we'll be in touch. I'll be seeing you soon.
Here's my card. You can call me here.
He takes it and he stuffs it into his pocket, and then makes his way out of the bar.
Perfect.
Do you go back to drinking?
I just look around and see that it's kind of winding down, so I head home.
What do you do with this large amount of money? You got like a mattress?
So I've got actually a wall safe. I put it in my wall safe.
Yeah. Sounds good. So you can add 5 expensive items to your character sheet.
Perfect. And
you can break 1 expensive item is 10 moderately priced items.
Oh, nice. So what's an expensive item again? Like a car?
Expensive item is like jewelry or cheap vehicle. Yeah, so you can basically buy like 5 cheap vehicles now. Many of the themes, backgrounds, lore, and characters in this podcast are based on the Magnus Archives podcast, produced by Rusty Quill. The TTRPG is produced by Monty Cook in partnership with Rusty Quill. This podcast operates under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please leave a like or comment to show your appreciation.